Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
You see,
Sam.
I have to acknowledge her because if not, she's going to jump right ahead of me. So
I stare at you until
right,
you let
exactly.
me in. And just grilling you from across the table.
Exactly. And we have to respect you sitting here and everything. So thanks for keeping me on my toes.
Of course, I appreciate you.
Of course, even though I say hi to you before we go on the air, but
yeah,
you know,
but the people need to hear the hi.
They need to hear that.
They need to hear it.
They need to hear we're bonding here.
That's right.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Today is Friday, finally, November 22nd.
Woo!
A week before Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh!
A week from today is going to be Black Friday, right?
Yeah, the nightmare of all days, man. I remember working retail.
Uh-huh.
Woo! I worked. In a restaurant in the mall and two stores in the mall, and we had to be there at like 4 a.m, fold like 500 t-shirts each for the first hour. It was insane, and people just came in, and it was as if they didn't even want to buy anything. They just wanted to pull all the t-shirts, like just undo them.
Just
and
to kind of be there, right?
Pull all the things off the shelves, like unhinge those little metal wires that they put the little necklaces on and stuff like that, and just throw things everywhere. It was,
oh my God.
It was a mess. It's the worst thing ever. Don't work retail. Or if you do, get out of there before Black Friday.
Well, this year you're going to be traveling, actually, so you won't have to work, which
I will
is
be.
Neat, right?
Yeah, I'll get in at midnight the morning of Black Friday, actually, so I'll be traveling all Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wow.
So I'm hoping everyone at the airport is
going
to be nice to them because I know they're going to be
good for you. Well, you're going to be arriving at a storm, and we're going to have one here, too, you know, like
really?
Wednesday, Thursday.
Rain here?
Rain here. Pretty heavy rain. That's what they're saying.
Do LA pilots even know how to fly in that?
They do, but they have to take extra lessons.
Okay.
Before
Fingers
we go
crossed.
On, yeah. We do have a guest in the studio. She'll be joining us in just a moment. If you want to check us out, Facebook Live, LA Talk Radio's page, and you'll see us there. We're going to talk about a very funny movie. Did you get to see the trailer yet?
I didn't see the trailer.
Okay, you'll have. Well, we'll play it here because the audio is pretty good too on
okay,
it.
Okay, great.
So sometimes the audio is in a different language and we can't really play it because you can't see subtitles unless you get really close to the microphone.
Yeah.
or to your radio.
Just look really hard into the microphone
exactly.
and hope I can see it.
If you can see the subtitles. But otherwise, I'm excited for Thanksgiving, and it'll be nice if it rains. It'll be like sort of like snow for the East Coast. It'll be rain for us, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if there's anything going on there. Did you say there was a storm?
Well, yeah, there's going to be a storm where you're going, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
I mean, yeah, I know, right?
There's always storms out there.
I'm going to tell my mom to pack all of my coats in the car on her way to pick me up.
Yeah, right? But it'll be nicer than a sunny day on Thanksgiving, for sure, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I want to enjoy the holiday and feel the holiday. And, you know, I mean, we have sunny Christmas and sunny Thanksgiving, and it's always just another day in Southern California.
Right? You know? I feel like that would be my luck. We'd get a big snowstorm on my way to go home for Thanksgiving, and I either won't be able to go or I'll be trapped at the airport and something like that. I feel like my life is an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm or something. Just like stuck.
But you know what? In the holiday in New York, it's pretty quiet. I remember that we traveled, you're traveling Thanksgiving Day. We arrived on, we flew all night and we arrived in New York City in, like at 5 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day. And, I mean, it was like cloudy and everything. We had to land in New Jersey and in Newark.
Yeah.
And then we had to take,
I hate that airport.
Yeah. We have to take like a bus and all that. But we got to the Port Authority, whatever they call it. And
the worst place in the world.
Yeah. You know, and there's no people on the streets, you know, like 6-7 in the morning. On Christmas Day,
it's
and we thought,
nice.
Wow, this is unusual for New York.
Oh, yeah.
You never see it like that.
I know.
You
know? Yeah.
So that was cool. We stayed there till New Year's, and then we came back. That was a few years ago. But
I hear the highways in L.A. are really empty on holidays like that, too.
Yeah, they
so
are.
So it's kind of like you're, I mean, I guess I live here now, too, so our equivalent.
Yeah, our equivalent for sure.
Yeah.
Before we get to our guest, Frozen 2 is starting tonight. Are you going to see it?
Maybe. Yeah, probably not.
I never saw the first one because my kids were already grown.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I tend to not see cartoons or animated movies without the kids. Although some I have, you know, because, yeah, like the Pixar movies I like.
Yeah, they make a lot of adult animated films now, too, right, which is kind of crazy. Like, I remember not wanting to see Sausage Party for a really long time. And then I saw it and I was like, what is this craziness?
Is it good?
They're just like having orgies.
Really? With hot dogs?
Hot dogs, the buns. Like, it's so loud. There, you can find a clip of it online. My friend didn't believe me. I was telling him about it last week. And he was like, dude, I'm not watching Sausage Party. I was like, I'm telling you, it's something to see for sure. And I made him watch the trailer. And he was like, whoa, is this for real? I was like, yeah.
Oh, God.
It sure is.
Wow. So they're expecting the big opening. I was watching last night. I was watching a documentary on Disneyland and stuff. Because my son got the Disney Plus channel.
Oh yeah.
So now, and he's sharing his passwords with everybody. So, I got to watch.
What's his password?
I'll give it to you afterwards. But no, really. I mean, for $6-7 a month, you get all of Disney, all of Pixar, all of Star Wars, all of everything.
I love Pixar,
you know,
yeah,
Marvel. So there's a lot to see, you know. And so they have a documentary on Walt Disney, how he started Disneyland and stuff. That was amazing to me. So, so Frozen 2, they're saying they're expecting like a $100 million opening, which is incredible, I think.
That's crazy.
One more thing. The Tesla truck was unveiled. Did you see that?
Oh, last night, right? Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't. I was on set all day yesterday, so I passed out the moment I got home.
Wow. I mean, it looks like some kind of like an art piece, you know, and like a spaceship or something, you know. It doesn't look like a pickup truck.
Elon Musk really changing the game.
He is, really. They call it a cyber truck or whatever. But it looks amazing. I don't know that I drive one, but there you go. And finally, a dog, you got to hear this, a dog got into a car, put it in reverse, and drove in circles for nearly an hour in Florida. So the woman,
always Florida.
You know, the woman comes out, she sees a car going, and she's like, what's going on here? She thought it was a driver or something, right? Somebody stealing her car. But then it's going in circles backwards, and she's like, what's going on? You know, they're like in a cul-de-sac.
Oh,
so finally they got... I don't know how the car stopped, but
animals are so smart.
It's so funny, huh?
Oh,
well, he probably did it by mistake. I don't think he did it on purpose. But how did he start the car?
Right? Maybe he drives with her a lot. Maybe it's a push to start.
Mm.
You know,
you
those little
so?
Push to start.
But it showed like an old horse. Yeah, I know.
I'm looking at that Tesla truck right now. It almost looks like a toy.
Right?
Like it looks like something from Star Wars.
Yeah, it looks like those stealth bombers.
Yeah.
You know, with sharp corners and things like that. A lot of angles. Anyway, folks, we're going to bring on our guest right now. We're going to be joined by a filmmaker and Oran Zegman. Welcome to the show, Oran.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. She's all green this morning. And
we have a lot of color going on today.
Yeah, I know.
Green, orange, yellow.
I know, orange, yellow, green. Yeah. Well, good. It looks good on camera. You would have a problem if you came on our video show and we have a green screen here. You would have disappeared.
Oh, I would completely disappear.
You'd just be a floating head.
Very bad for a green screen.
Sometimes it happens. You know, people come wearing green and I'm like, oh, no. Do you have something else to put on?
Yeah. Oh, worries.
Oh, well. But you made a movie and it's not with green screen. I imagine it's more like concentrated on the acting and the story. And we're gonna get to that a little bit. But we discovered you're from Israel, right?
Right.
And how long have you been here now?
So I moved here 3.5 years ago.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. And she sounds like an American, right?
You'll get it.
Yeah, honestly, I've been here 45 years. I don't sound like a friggin' American. So I don't know what the hell's going on. But yeah, I think
we're the same tribe.
Yeah. But no, the younger people pick it up faster. I don't know how it is. Plus,
you also work with actors and stuff too, and you're an actress too.
Yeah, I was an actor. Yeah. Now I'm not acting anymore. anymore. But okay. Yeah, I was an actor for in Israel for like 12 years.
And okay. probably listened to a lot of American music and movies and things like that, TV.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you see, that's from an early age. So this generation speaks English, you know, I mean, at least the accent is,
sure, yeah.
is much much better. In my
Thank you. I hope that my husband is watching now. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you see, we give compliments here all over the place.
Right?
Awesome. I'm in.
So you're married. I mean, you look so young, you know? I mean, when
Thank
did you,
you
get married?
I'm very non-young.
Yeah.
I got married 3 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Mazel tov to you.
Thank you. Wow. That was like a pretty... the perfect ending for a year of my movie.
Yeah,
which
the movie
called Marriage Material.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Marriage Material. And it's really funny and it's interesting too, because we'll talk about the story and everything and we'll play the trailer, but we want to find out a little bit about you. So you live here?
So yeah, I live in LA. I moved here from Tel Aviv 3.5 years ago. Came here from for school. I did my master's degree at AFI, American Film Institute.
Yeah,
graduated a year-ish ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the other day, we had somebody from AFI too, right? The Danish guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And actually, everybody was in AFI. It seems.
It's a very. Yeah, it's like it's probably the best school.
Really?
Film school
in the world.
It's the top three film schools in the world. So it's like AFI, USC.
Right.
And pretty much like we compete each other every year on the first spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And this year AFI had 5 finalists out of 7 at the Student Academy Awards. And the 3 winners were from my class. We were finalists. We didn't win, but the 3 winners are from my class. So I think next year AFI will be first.
That's so cool. Yeah. Plus, I guess you are a contender for the Oscar too. Your movie is being considered.
Yeah, under consideration. Yeah.
Right.
That's a big
one. There you go. You know, my God. I mean, you guys are making history, you know. That's very cool. So your film is a short film too, right?
Right.
How long is it?
It's 25 minutes and it's a musical.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
But still, there's a lot of talking parts and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
I would say it's like 70% music and 30% dialogues. But the music is very much informative. I mean, it's like pushing the plot forward. It's not just like a show. It's all about like the music pushes the plot forward all the time.
Part of the plot. And
yeah.
Everything.
It's a completely
part of the plot. That's original. That's different. Right?
That's hard.
Did you write the music yourself?
No. My composer is Ben Zeidman, also an Israeli guy. You should have him here. He's awesome. Yeah. Actually, he lives really close by. I can see from the window. And yeah, we met here and he wrote the music and we co-wrote the lyrics.
Ah, wow. Yeah. So now the idea for this, did this start back in Israel or here?
I mean, the idea of the story is basically based off my relationships experience throughout my life, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, do you want me to say what is it about?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay,
of
sure.
Course,
so the story is about is following a woman who her boyfriend just rejected her wedding proposal. So she checks herself into this late blooming bride retreat that takes women and transforms them to become marriage material and matches them with their ideal partner at all cost. I mean, it's a very dark movie. I mean, it's a dark comedy, so it's funny all the way through until the end.
Right.
And the idea of it just came after many, many years of feeling unmarriage material and feeling that, you know, that maybe I'm too focused on my career or maybe I'm just I'm too alpha like my character in the movie is.
She made the proposal, right?
Yeah, she proposed
to her fiance or whatever.
To her boyfriend.
Wow, and he rejected her.
Wow,
that's
gonna
be pretty devastating.
And that was the end of their relationship, I assume.
Yeah, and then she checks herself into this place where she meets like more women that are love hopefuls, and it's basically it's a satire about with a social commentary about how nowadays, not just nowadays, I think it's been forever, that like the expectations, the high expectations from a woman and from a wife, you know, And how very pretty much often we, not just women, by the way, but how we lose ourselves or compromising or sacrificing our own, our voice just to find love, just to, just to make it happen, you know? And I think in Israel, you would probably agree with me. After you're 30, if you're not married, as, and I'm talking about women, because it's not like this for men, but if you're a woman
there's
over 30s,
a different standard.
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're if you pass your 30s and you're still not married, like people are like, "What's wrong with you?"
Right. Like, but isn't it like that here too, in a way?
Times are changing.
You know, I mean, I know that, I don't know if other people say that, but I know that women, once they reach 30, 31, it's like, oh man, I got to get married, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that pressure is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I mean, so I think it is like that, but I think on the coast in places like New York and LA, places where people are like fighting to make things happen for, you know, their careers and lives, not that they're not doing that everywhere else, but, you know, people more in other places in the country are, you know, settling down more. Like in my hometown, I know so many more people that are married and settled and are starting to have kids. Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So people are, you know, married and starting to have kids by their mid to late 20s, you know, and in my mid to late 20s, I wasn't, I mean, I'm 31 and I'm still not even really thinking about that, you know, but all of my friends here in LA and my friends in New York, almost none of them are married or have kids. You know?
I have to say that, like, I always say that I left the pressure to get married. I left it in Ben Gurion Airport, which is in Israel. Like when I moved here, because it was all around me. You know, all my friends. I'm gonna turn 36 in 2 weeks.
Wow, yeah. I thought she's 16 years
That's
old.
That's the right answer.
I wouldn't go back to 16 ever.
No, me too. You know,
no,
it's
I mean,
way
I was
better
exaggerating,
now.
But
no, of course. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's just like in Israel, all my friends were, I left Israel when I was almost 33. All my friends were married and had at least one baby, at least. So it was either one or two already. Now some of them already have three. It's just different expectations and different pacing, I would say. And that really made me feel like something's wrong with me, you know?
Yeah.
And when you think that something is wrong with you, this is how you present yourself. This is what you project, and this is what you get.
Right.
You know?
And then you seem desperate, and nobody's attracted
Not
to
necessarily
that.
Desperate, but just, I mean, I was probably desperate. I don't know if I was desperate, but I was just, you know, I was just...
Hopeful,
and I would be stressed, and I would, like, when I had a crush on someone, I would make everything to make it happen, you know, very much like my character in the show, that she's like, she doesn't have the patience, so she goes and proposes to him, which is amazing. I mean, some of my best friends propose to their guys, but you know, it's funny, because, like, men, some men, I don't want to generalize, but some men still needs this feeling of like, I'm the man, I'm the one who's going to do it, because this is how it always happened, you know, this is how it used to be, that only man proposes. And some people really needs to feel the control, or like the masculine behind it, you know,
the alpha.
Yeah. And this would, I mean, I think that some men had a problem
tradition.
With me being an alpha.
Yeah, for sure. No, I bet I kind of experience that same thing too, because I'm kind of an alpha as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So I feel
so
like
you need to meet a certain kind of man, you know.
Yeah, someone who's super secure, who can just, you know, roll with the punches, who's also maybe even an alpha himself. It just, he doesn't have to be
someone who's confident enough in his own masculinity and
totally.
Like really cool with having someone that is also like,
totally.
But isn't it, wouldn't it create a problem in a relationship when both are alphas, really strong?
It could.
Right.
It depends how secure both people are. Because I think there's ebbs and flows. I mean, there's times sometimes when you're, you know, tired or going through something, and it would be nice if someone else took charge. And then there's sometimes when you need to take charge. I think it kind of, it's balanced.
I think that me and my partner are very much like this. You know, it's not like I'm the alpha. Not at all. Like some things that he's the alpha in him and some things that I am. You know,
exactly.
It's just like you need to, it's the right, to find the right balance. It's nothing to do with like gender roles, I think. It's find the right connection on the right timing.
Exactly.
Of two people that wants the same thing from life.
Where's he from?
He's originally from, he grew up in Iowa.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And a good Midwestern.
Yeah.
So she married an American.
In LA, it's hopeless for women.
Yeah. Did you meet him here or in Israel?
No, I met him in Chicago, actually.
Oh, really?
In a film festival, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's not a filmmaker, but we met in Chicago, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's very nice. So, so he's not a filmmaker.
It's no, just, not at all.
You met him while you were there in Chicago.
Yeah.
Wow, and you probably never expected that, huh?
No, it was also on Tinder. So, girls, there are hope. There is hope.
Oh, my gosh. My friend and I were just talking about Tinder this morning.
So, she was checking out Tinder even when she was traveling to Chicago.
I was bored. I had just, like, I had for 5 days, I had to find something to do. And it wasn't, like, the hotel, they put me not really in the city. So, it was very boring, and I had to do a lot of work. So, in between, I was like, okay. It was just, like, a game to me, I think, Tinder.
Right. Yeah, it's like looking through a catalog.
That's what it is, you know?
It's a catalog, and I didn't feel like it's really going to happen to me through Tinder, but I was just, it was after a whole year of working on marriage material. I was super swamped. I didn't have time to for my love life, and I was just like, oh, this guy has really nice eyes and has just this kind guy eyes. And
but weren't you concerned about it being a long distance relationship, or because you know, you were living in two different places? I know that I would do that when I go visit my friends. I go on Bumble or something. Uh-huh. But you get people from that area, right?
Right, yeah.
So then I'm like, why am I even bothering? Because I don't want a long-distance relationship.
Yeah.
What happened there?
So I'm a Sagittarius. I guess that I'm really, really adventurous. And I'm like, oh, that can be cool, like, romance here or whatever. And then, but then, like, when we met, it was, like, a very pretty much an immediate click between us. And I think that the next day or like 2 days after, I told him something like, just FYI, I'm never going to move to Chicago. Never. So if there's
so
like,
it's up to you, right?
So if there's like a slightly chance that you're ever going to move to California, that can be amazing. Because I knew that, you know, I moved all the way from Israel to be in the heart of the filmmaking industry. And I didn't see myself living in Chicago. It's also so cold.
Right.
So I kept telling him that I saved him from the cold.
Yeah. So in a few days, he knew he was going to move to LA?
No, I don't think in a few days. I think we started talking about moving in together after like 2 or 3 months of like doing this long distance.
Long distance, yeah.
Which was hard.
Frustrating too, right?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot. These days you have FaceTime, so
That's true.
You know how you speak probably with your relatives in Israel. It feels like you
see them. But
you
don't. Oh, they're all here. But no, I mean, I totally get what you say, but when I had a long distance relationship, the internet had just started. It was like in the 90s. And so it was only phone, you know, and it was so frustrating to me because it's like you want to be with that person, let's say now or tomorrow, but you can't, you know. So it's just like all that's left is talking. And when you talk too much, you start arguing.
But it's that's a thing. But it's also I found it also very exciting, you know.
Yeah.
It's like it adds to the
anticipation
fire.
Anticipation and
stuff. Yeah, anticipation. And you get to know the person really well, which I think that was our foundation of our relationship. Mm. That we just because if you lived here, we would probably date like in the beginning twice a week and only for dinner or whatever. And this long relationship forced us to pretty much like get to know each other so deep. Mm. Like for like in very in short time we knew each other so well. So
wow. And then you were sure?
I think I was sure after like a month.
Oh my gosh.
How long were you together before you got married?
Also pretty quick. 9 or 10 months.
Oh, wow.
I think 10 months, yeah.
Oh, but that's long enough to get to know someone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I'm 36, he's 33. It, yeah. I think that you know.
Yeah.
I don't understand
you. Younger man.
You're ready.
Yeah.
My friends always tease me because I date younger sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, the best.
There's not much of a difference.
Yeah.
You know? Right. I mean, 36, 33, there's not that big a difference.
Like, it's like, yeah, I'm no. Like, not so really younger. Different. I'm like, it's not that different.
Yeah. It's not that different. Yeah. I see that. I don't feel like I'm older. I think the opposite. I feel that he's the adult in the house. You know? He's the responsible, has like you know, steady job. He works in finance, so it's very...
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's great.
Did you guys get married here, or where did you get married?
We got married in Vegas.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like traditional Vegas wedding?
The Elvis, the whole shebang.
Oh, cool. Yeah, who'd family. You bring?
What do you mean?
Like friends, family?
Just family. It was really, really close family. Like 12 people came. And we're planning to probably do another wedding in Israel.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Because my parents will never let me get
exactly.
away with it.
Yeah.
Of course.
They won't let her live it down if she doesn't, you know?
No.
Yeah. Are you an only child?
No. I have a lot of brothers and sisters.
Really?
Yeah, like five.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
But they still want to make sure you have a traditional wedding down there.
Yes. Everybody I'm the only child of my mom and dad. They both remarried again.
Oh, I see. Kids, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I love a big extended family. That's great.
Yeah.
It's
a
lot. Yeah, you owe it to them.
Literally, my dad was like, you owe it to me. Fine. Let's go.
He says what's on his mind.
Yeah, we're probably going to do just a big party.
Yeah, you raise a girl and everything, you want to see her get married. Right? You know, I mean, everybody's got that dream. And that's what the movie really is about, right? It's conforming to that expectations from society, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. This is what I felt for a long time. You know, like I said earlier, it's just the expectations of like being a certain woman in order to be good enough, in order to be marriage material. I mean, not to say that everyone is like this and all people expectations are the same. I don't think so, but. Like if you're trying to generalize something, so yeah, in the end of the day, like you need to be a multitasker, you know? You need to be the best woman in bed, the best woman in, like to cook, to clean, to I mean, a lot of people these are like even if they will not admit it, this is like deep inside. They want the superwoman. You know?
Yeah, it's been so ingrained into us for so many years through TV. Just the way things have been.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, cool. Yeah,
women are breaking that barrier.
Yeah.
Is there anything you miss about living in Israel that you don't find here? Besides, you know, family?
Friday afternoon. What do you understand? Yeah. So there's some. You know, in Israel, like our Sunday is Saturday. So like people don't work on Saturday. And most of people, I think nowadays, don't work on a Friday too. So Friday is like all about getting ready for Shabbat dinner. And in the summer, you go to the beach and then you have a beer. I'm from Tel Aviv, so I'm very much a city girl. but there's something very spiritual in the vibe of Friday afternoon that doesn't exist in any place on earth.
Right. But it can exist in your head, you know. I noticed that it does here.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because it's sort of like magical, you know, because like you said, many people don't work Friday, or if you do, you work half a day or something, right?
Yeah.
So then it's like you stop, you get the challah bread, you buy this, the mother cooks, you know.
Yeah, like you walk in the streets and you smell like the cooking. The only day I feel it's a Friday here is Thanksgiving Day. This is like when I like you feel it, like you smell like the cooking's coming from.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the only day that I'm like, oh, this is like Friday. So
I love it.
I miss this, and I miss my family and friends very much. Like. A friend, I mean, I have great friends, awesome friends here, but it's not the same like people that you grew up with or you
of
went
course,
to school with.
That know your culture, your language, and
have nostalgia together. Yeah. You know, it's just different type of friendship now, you know.
Yeah.
For sure.
It is different, but you know, hey, I left at 16 on my own. I left a lot of friends behind. And I came here by myself, actually. My parents sent me. I stayed with some family for a while and then became independent pretty quickly, you know, but so it's always about missing the family and the friends and all that. So I know what you mean, you know, it's kind of tough. Now, so you came here all on your own, right?
Yes.
And was that a tough decision for you? Or, I mean, you knew you wanted to come to Hollywood to study film, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I was an actor for so many years. And once I started writing, directing, and once I had this, I decided that I don't want to act anymore and I want to be a director, it was after a summer in New York. I went to like an 8 weeks workshop in New York Film Academy, and then it was just the best 8 weeks of my life. I suddenly felt, oh, this is my purpose. Like everything that I was going through to this point, like acting and all, which gives you a great tool to work with actors.
Absolutely.
It's just like, oh, I realize that this is what I want to do. And once I realized what I want to do, I felt that I wanted big, you know. In Israel, there's an amazing filmmaking and TV industry, but your resources are very, very, very limited. Budget is very limited. Like, I think don't catch my word, but I think that the biggest budget that you can get in Israel is like $1 million for a feature, which here is not even a micro budget film. So, and also the subject matters are like not different. A lot of very different, like I don't think that there was ever like a musical feature made in Israel, you know. People are not doing genres.
Maybe older ones, but you know, older, I mean, like in my time, 60s,
yeah, in the 70s, but not traditional musical, not like a La La Land, Rocketman musicals, like just like a movie with songs about a band, you know, which is different. It's a different genre.
Well, not necessarily, but I'm a generation before you. After the show, I'll remind you of some movies, which mean nothing here on the show, but and incidentally, there's the Israeli Film Festival playing right now in L.A. And
that's cool.
So yeah, but it's interesting that you chose to make your films here rather than back in Israel, where it might have been, you know, more natural for you and everything. But it's like you come here, you have all the resources, like you said.
Yeah,
and it was
a very hard transition. Like when I started school here, so we make 3 shorts in the first year and then 1 big thesis, which was Marriage Material, on the second year. And when I came here, I was like, what am I going to write about? Like, I usually write from my very backyard, you know, about like, this is, you know, not every writer is the same. This is how I work.
Sure.
And I was like, I don't know. But then you realize that things that you're going through is very universal in the end of the day. And and just like the options, the unlimited options of like expanding your world to a bigger one. And it just like it's great. But it took me a while. It took me a while to enjoy it. I mean, my last short in Israel was it's called Rebel, and it's placed in South Tel Aviv of the 50s, about a Greek community. It's about my grandmother's story.
Oh wow, it's my dad's story too.
Yeah,
yeah, in the south part of Tel Aviv.
Yeah,
right?
In Florentine.
Yeah, exactly. That's my dad.
You look Greek.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, me too. I mean, yeah. I'm also Greek.
I know. Well, yeah. So we grew up with the same music.
Yeah,
same
Ladino.
Food, probably. Okay.
I love Greek food.
Yeah.
I do. My best friend growing up, her family was Greek from Cyprus. And I'd go there for dinner all the time, and her mom would have 20 different dishes on the table.
Yeah, my grandmother's food is just like the thing that I miss the most. But she lives in Florida, so it's closer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Very nice.
So very cool, you know. So there's a lot to write about that period, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. And she had such an interesting and unusual story.
Right.
She had to give up her kid in order to get a divorce, which, you know.
Wow.
So for 13 years, for 12 years, she didn't see him. And so this whole story is like focused on this community in South Tel Aviv, or the Ladino. Wow. The Ladino is like the Jewish Spanish, I guess.
Right. Like Yiddish, you know, Yiddish is like Hebrew and German. Mm-hmm. So this is Hebrew and Spanish, you know.
Okay,
yeah.
Exactly.
Because all the people from Greece and Italy and
Turkey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Turkey, they all their ancestors came from Spain.
Mm.
So that's why you have that Spanish thing going on and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And then the culture is beautiful. Like the culture and the food, and it's just like very vibrant and colorful community that was in South Tel Aviv in the 50s. So,
right.
So
very cool. Yeah. You know, I mean, I like that. So, but then you came here. Here, I want to play the trailer for the movie. Even the audio will give you a little bit of idea of what the movie is like. So let's take a listen real quick.
Are you interested in men, women, or both?
Men.
Preference of circumcision?
yes.
You got a hell of a lot of work to do before I match you with a partner. But you seem like a sharp cookie. You'll change in no time.
Change?
Alpha.
Wait, what?
too dominant.
Well, too dominant.
I guess some change couldn't hurt.
Yes!
The secret, ladies, is that it's all about acting. Be classy, soft, chill.
This last fix will make you a better match.
So if I don't sign this,
it's game over.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and you gotta see the trailer. I mean, they got like mannequins that are humping them in bed and stuff, I guess. Yeah, teaching you how to have sex, right?
It gets pretty wild. I'm developing it into a Quibi show. Do you know what is Quibi?
Uh-uh.
Did you hear about Quibi? No. So Quibi is the new Jeffrey Katzenberg streaming platform that is launching this April. And it's they're making the vision is to make HBO premium content into short episodic shows.
Right.
So the episodes are going to be 7 to 10 minutes, and we're developing into a 9-episode show now. They have great resources, and Spielberg is doing a show there. Guillermo del Toro is doing a show there. Charlize Theron is doing a show there. So they really like the short. Jeffrey really liked the short. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow,
so
congratulations.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Jeffrey Katzenberg likes your work, then there you go. You know,
okay, I'll tell you later something about it.
I love those little short episodes. I'll get up watching them for hours.
Right?
You know,
right? Because today there's so many shows that that I want to see, but I feel like I can't commit now to watching an hour long episodes. And I'm very, regardless of my show in Quibi, I'm very, very excited about the idea of eating lunch and binging 2 episodes or one, you know, and in a day you can finish the entire show. So
and not having to sit there and think about what happened in the last 20 minutes for the
rest
of the day.
And you do need to invest in a lot of time to watch all these shows, you know.
Right.
I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, there's a lot of shows I'd like to watch, but I'm not putting in an hour every night to watch this, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have the time.
It's a lot. So this is the vision. I mean, Katzenberg thinks that this is where we're going, and I cannot agree more.
Yeah.
And
good for you. Awesome.
And they're doing also other documentaries show and news and news show. Like, you're gonna get really quick news break.
I can't wait to see.
Really excited. It's also gonna be a musical, and it's we're gonna expand the world of Happy Home, which is the late blooming bride retreat.
Right. And it'll probably be a good platform for short films too, right?
It's not gonna be short.
Oh, not short film, because even those are too long.
I mean, they're really, really, it's going to be episodes of 7 to 10 minutes. This is
all
the
original
standard
shows made especially for that platform.
Yeah. So they have also the model of coming to them with a feature that you can break into acts, you know,
right.
Because basically we're probably going to do 9 episodes, which is 90 minutes. So
right.
It's almost like a feature.
So now they're actually selecting the movie for the short list or long list of the Oscars right now?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Very exciting.
I know.
Not stressful or anything.
And you're competing with a lot of films, though,
yeah.
Right? Like what, several hundred, several thousand?
No, I think that because you have to be Oscar eligible.
Right.
So that kind of narrows it down.
What makes you Oscar eligible?
Fox Searchlight acquired the short film.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
A few months ago.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so in order to be an Oscar qualified, you need to either win an Oscar qualifying festival win the grand prize, or you can open theatrical for theatrical release. Do just screen it in theater for 7 days minimum.
Gotcha.
So with Fox Searchlight, they opened us in theaters for a week, and made us eligible.
That's good, because many short films don't even make it to the theaters, right?
Right, not at all. Yeah.
Yeah,
you can mostly catch short films on festivals.
Right.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate. I think that some of the streaming platforms are trying now to bring short films, or some have it already.
Right. There's not enough of a platform for them.
Yeah,
you know, and there's so much good work out there. So much.
That's true. Right. Yeah,
yeah.
And there's a lot of great films. You know, it just said usually the filmmakers tell us that it's more for their real and to show people what you can do.
Yeah, your calling card.
Right, so you can get investments for your feature films.
Exactly. Which this is what we did, by the way. I mean,
yeah.
And originally, like in the very beginning, when I just reached out to my composer, that was our goal, like to make it, because I had a bigger vision to Marriage Material. And mm-hmm. we were like, okay, we're going to take this and hopefully use it in order to show people, hey, this is what we can do, but hey, but pitch them like a bigger idea.
So would you like to make it into a feature if you could?
I mean, we're making it into a show now. The good thing with Quibi is that they're licensing for 2 years, and then you can make it as a feature or just like a longer show
right
elsewhere. So right. Yeah, maybe. I mean, the biggest goal is Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Definitely. We already had some interest, but now we're focusing on the show, and later on we'll start looking around and shouting.
So let's give some shout outs to some of the people.
Yeah.
Who was the composer for the movie?
Ben Zeidman.
Ben Zeidman?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. He's Israeli too?
He's Israel. So him and my producer, both Israelis.
Ah.
Yeah. My producer, Maor Azran. Uh-huh. Amazing producer.
Really? Is it coincidence that that happened like that?
Maor and I went to school together. So okay. You have to have you have to work with people from school, because we're divided to disciplines, to producing, production designers, editing, cinematography, screenwriting, and directing. So you have to team up with as many people from school. We don't have music and composing, so this is how we teamed with Ben, luckily.
Yeah.
And Maor went with me to school, yeah.
Oh, so wow. Cool.
And it makes sense. That's why they don't have to spend a lot of money on people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, right? People work, most of the people work for free volunteer, right. Yeah.
Because, they're students, or they work with students
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah,
there's so much of that right. in film, even when you're not a student. You know, yeah. there's so much work that gets yeah. done for free first.
So many. But we also, we had to, one of the things in the program is that you have to raise money for the film. If I right. give you a specific, they gives you a specific amount to each team, but then you have to raise the rest. So this part was
tough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to work yeah. with other people's money, you know, or to at least get it, you know.
Very, very hard.
Sure. I
didn't enjoy this part of yeah. the work, but I think we did. Our team, we really made a good job in this.
So this is a really cool film. I know it's on Vimeo, but this is a private link, right?
Yeah.
So what if people want to see it? I mean, how will they see it?
So it's going to be available online on January on Fox Searchlight Shorts.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Do they have a channel or something?
Yes, they do. And
really?
It's going to be, I mean, online. So it's going to be online.
Okay.
And they have a website and a Facebook page that you can find it there from January.
Okay.
For, I think it's going to be for 6 months at least.
Really? Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. wow. Yeah. So you're excited about this, huh?
I'm very excited.
A lot happening in your life.
I'm excited too. I can't wait to watch it.
I mean,
and we have a screening. We have a screening in Holly Shorts in December 12 at 9:30 p.m. This is our next screening here in L.A. in the Chinese Theater.
Okay, I want to go to that.
Yeah,
Chinese Theater.
Nice, yeah.
December 12th.
I know. I'd love to see this film. Well, actually,
I will send you guys a link.
We have a private link.
Oh, you
Catherine
have a link.
Sent it to
me. Cool.
Great.
Cool.
We'll see it. It's an investment of 25 minutes. I have it.
Yeah.
I have the 25 minutes to watch it.
Amazing. Oh, good.
Please send it to me too. Can I shout out the cast?
Yeah, yes, that's exactly please. What I was going to say. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool.
So the main actress, the lead, what's her name?
Her name is Gwen Hollander.
Okay. And is she a student?
No. None of the actors are students. They're all professional actors.
Oh, wow.
That audition
yeah.
for us. And Gwen, I found her. It's a really interesting story, actually. So I had I didn't want to meet a lot of actors for the lead role, and I wanted to meet them in person rather than just audition them. And I met an actor that got referred by a friend, and she was like, he showed me her picture, and I heard her singing, and she's amazing. But she was just like, too pretty, you know, this, like a little bit too much, you know, like in a great way.
No, but it makes sense, because you're looking for someone who's who doesn't find it easy to get married.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone that
and Gwen is pretty. Gwen is like the prettiest, but it just like she has this interesting look, you know, not.
Right.
Not
a model look.
Yeah. And the other girl was like very, very model look. So after like 5 minutes, I told her, I'm so sorry. Like, you're awesome, but that Yeah, it's just you're like, too you're too pretty. And she was like, and then she paused and she was like, I know, but no, like it was such a comic relief. No, she's awesome and she's so talented. And then she showed me, I have the perfect woman for you. And she showed me Gwen's Instagram. Gwen is doing a lot of, she should follow her, Gwenstagram, I think it's her Instagram. And she's doing a lot of really fun music videos with her husband.
Yeah.
So I was like immediately, oh yes, this is it. And then we met for audition and she knocked us down. Wow. And the funny thing is that I don't know if you see it through the trailer, but we're very, very look-alike, me and her. So it was kind of like, I opened the door in the audition and I was like, that's weird. We kind of look like each other. And so many people, when they watch it for the first time, they were like, oh my God, we thought it's you. And even when we did the sound for, when I met the sound people for the first time, it's, you know, it's just this dark sweets. And they watched the film before I came. And then they were like, oh, you did such a great job. You were amazing. Wow, you sing so nice. And I'm like, this is not me.
Yeah.
So this is about Gwen and other roles. Yeah, we auditioned a lot. We have Laura Gardner playing the Yenta role, Yenta Feldman, which is
good old Yenta,
the matchmaker guru of this place. She's just stunning. We have Diane Kelber playing the volunteer, which is the Yenta's right hand, the staff. she's just like a one woman show staff of this place. And we had this most amazing ensemble of girls that I think we auditioned. I saw probably around 300 girls for this role, because it's really hard to find in LA a triple threat, that most of the people are in New York, you know?
Yeah.
So, but there are a crazy talented group of musical theater actors here in LA, and I was lucky enough to see a lot of them and ended up choosing these girls, and, you know, they became family. We had to rehearse. We rehearsed for 2.5 months, which is tons for a short.
Right. And that's a lot of people to direct too, right?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because the whole group of girls here going to that school, place. Place, whatever it is.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So before we met for the first time, I sent them my director statement, which was like, why do I want to tell this story, and how is it personal to me?
Sure.
And I didn't think about like, what is it going to create? I just it was important for me to just like let them know where is it coming from. So it was the day before when I had the first table read or rehearsal, I don't remember. And then like 5 minutes after I sent this email, I sent it as a group because I wanted all to see like who's working on the film. So 5 minutes after, emails started coming in a chain, like each one of the girls wanted to share with me her personal story and how they feel in some level like they're damaged goods, you know, and how like and some people were divorced, some people were like also over 30s and struggling. I had twin sister, the amazing Amber and Carissa Dennison, that you know, obviously being twins is like, and best friends and living together, it's like they're identical twins, it's also hard to find a relationship when you have the most close relationship with your sister.
Sure.
So these emails started coming, and when we met for the first time, it was so it was almost like a therapy session.
Yeah.
And that kicked that made everyone really relate to the subject matter, and everyone felt like that this thing is important, and there was something magical happened in this film. Like, we really became family, that everyone knew that like, we got to make this movie happen, because it was like against all odds. We had six days to shoot it. Yeah. And once you see it, you will understand how hard it is. You have a lot of limitations in AFI.
Oh,
you can't rehearse forever because you can't pay the actors, and you can only shoot 6 days and have only specific budget. So thanks to my cast, this film happened.
So you did the nearly impossible, which is amazing.
And it sucks that people have to feel like they're going through that too, but it's really magical when you do share your story and you realize how many other people are on the same page.
Oh, that's, you know, that's magic.
Like, it makes you feel like less of a, I don't know, freak or something, you know?
And it made them like feel that important in the process, you know, because they brought their own story, you know, like, even though the ensemble are, you know, they're like typically like they're like the chorus role, but each one of them has a role and we worked on it, you know, and each one had a name and a character, even though that they're sometimes they're only dancers, you know,
right.
But it came from a very personal place, and
they have to be engaged, and
they were so
and
engaged,
on board,
yeah.
And yeah, it's awesome. Really great.
Yeah,
it's well, great
Ron
to feel
Zygmunt,
like that.
We're totally out of time.
Yeah.
Tell us how people can find you a little more about the film. Maybe do you have any social media?
Yeah, so we have Facebook on Marriage Material. We have Instagram, Marriage Material, the film. A website also, marriagematerialfilm.com. Mm-hmm. And my Facebook and Instagram is Orani. My Facebook is Orani Van Zygmunt because I took a part of my husband's name. He's Van Milligan. I took the Van because it sounds very royal. Suddenly, Van Zygmunt. And Instagram, Orani Zygmunt. Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations to you.
I'm very excited for you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you're married and now you have
now I'm marriage material.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah.
And you have a baby in your movie and you'll probably have babies coming soon.
Yeah,
so.
This is the Israeli.
Look, people get married, you know,
that's
whatever.
True.
You start a family. But
hopefully,
I'm sure you got a whole career still to build ahead of you, and that's amazing. So.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best. And after you win the Oscars, come back and visit us.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes, yeah,
we wish you all the best. And if you're associated with Catherine, you have a very good chance of being there, I can tell you. Last year, she had 4 of the 5 nominees.
That's insane. Yeah, I know. She's amazing.
Good for you.
I'm going to try and come to that screening.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
When is it again?
It's December 12th, Holly Shorts and the Chinese TCL.
Sounds good. Yeah. Some people like to go to those Holly Shorts and stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. You can get like a few short films.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. All right, Jen, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Happy
Enjoy.
Thanksgiving.
See you on
Happy
Monday.
Thanksgiving. Bye.
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 You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.